Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Beis at the Dibur Hamaschil, where the words of the Mishnah are quoted. The last two words, Umisaknim Es, and we continue at the top of Daf Hey Amud Aleph, Kilkule Hamayim Shebirshu Sarabim V'choytetin Oysam. Repairs can be made on pipes of water, water pipes that are in a public area, public thoroughfare. The choytetin osan, you can clear them out of debris. Chatita is to clear away debris. And the Gemara points out that this word chatita is in contrast to chafira, namely that you are allowed to remove debris, but to dig out initially a new pipe, a new ditch that serves as a pipe, that you cannot do on Chol HaMoed. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, Mutar Lachpor Chafiroi Smayim Litzor Harabim. The Gemara will discuss this issue of digging out ditches for water purposes when it comes to the public welfare. When we speak about digging out ditches for water purposes, the Mefarshim debate whether the commentaries discuss whether it's for carrying clean water for drinking purposes, or it's for carrying away waste water. So we'll, in general, simply refer to them as water pipes. The Gemara. Chatita in, chafira lo. From the fact that our Mishnah says v'choytetin osan, that's to clear away debris, as opposed to digging, not allowed. Omer of Yankiv, Omer of Yochanan, lo shonu elo she'en rabim tzrichu lahem. This restriction of non-digging out initial, creating new pipes, that is only when the tzibur, the rabbin, the public does not require it. Avo rabbin tzrichonem, if the public requires it, afilu chafira mutter, even digging out, an initial creation of these ducts or these pipes would be allowed. The Gemara asks, v'chi rabbin tzrichonem mishorian, is that really so? If the public needs it, it would be allowed. We're challenging here Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. And as you see in the Gemara now starts a give and take style. And on the side of the Gemara, our mivnehading, the structural note, we indicate with the triangles that this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. So when the triangle form is facing up, so kushos al din hanal, they will represent challenges to this particular halacha, to Rabbi Yochanan's leniency, and the inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses. So now the Gemara. So we're asking, is it so that if the public needs it, it would be allowed? V'hot tanya. We have a Tanaic source, choytetin borois shichinu moros shel yochid, v'ein tzorach loimar shel rabim. We've used a double underline to emphasize the expression shel yochid and shel rabim. These are, we'll say, contrasting expressions. So that the source is telling us that you're allowed to clear out debris from boros shichun moros, different types of pits, dugout structure, dugout entities, if it belongs to a private person, and goes without saying that it would be allowed to clear away debris if it's shel rabim. The ein choifrin, shabbat means if it's for the public needs, and all the more so, there's room for leniency. The ein choifrin, however, to dig initial pits of all kinds, shel rabim is not allowed. Public digging, initial digging, even if it's for the public, is not allowed. The ein sokh lomar shel yochanan, it goes without saying that it would be prohibited for the benefit of a private individual. So now, the Gemara clarifies, my lav, v'shirabim, tzrichim lohim. Is it not so that this source is referring to a case where the rabbin needs it, they require it, and yet it says that you cannot dig out boros, shichim, boros, different types of pits and, we'll say, water supplies for the purpose of the rabbin, even if the public needs it? That would be the kasha, the difficulty from the Tanaic source on Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. The Gemara says, loy, the source is not talking about where the public needs it. B'she'ein rabim tzrichim lohem. The public doesn't require it, doesn't need it. It might be for the public, but they don't need it. The Gemara asks, well, if you're going to say that that's the case of this Tanaic source, then when you look at the private situation, it would have to be the same situation. D'kavosa gabi yochid she'ein tzorich lohem. That the private person featured in this source, also keeping the parallel, doesn't need it. Well, if that's the case, chatito mishori, is clearing away debris allowed? If the person doesn't need it, is chatita, which we, of course, is a lesser activity, but if he doesn't need it, is it allowed? V'hotanya, we have the following source. Boros shichunum oros, shel yachid. Kainsin mayim l'soichan, avoloi chaytetin oison, velo shochanes sidkehem. The different types of pits, you can gather water into them, but you cannot clear away the debris, and velo shofenes it came, and you cannot smooth out its cracks. V'shel rabim choytetin oison, v'shofen es sidkein. When it comes to the public, boros shichamoros, so you're allowed to clear away the debris and to smooth out the cracks. So at this point, we're saying that to explain the previous source as ein tzorich lohem, that they don't need it, so then we have the difficulty of the yochid. V'elomai b'shiyochid tzorich lohem. Well then, what are you going to have to say as far as the source before that says you are allowed to clear away the debris is because the private person does require it. T'kavosah gabi rabim b'shirab. Then the parallel would have to be, if you're going to say that the yochid does need it, so then by the public you'll have to keep the parallel. That's going to create a new question. If you say by the public b'shirabim tzorich lohem, the public does require chafira mi osir. Would it be accurate to say, like the source before said, and you can use your arrow on the side to see where we said this, that chafira, that initial digging, would be prohibited? But that's not so. V'hotanya, boros shichum oros shel yachid, koinsin mayim l'soichon. You can gather water into them. V'choytetin oison, and you're allowed to clear away debris. Avolo shofen esid kem v'lo choytetin l'soichon. Veloy sodin oison besid. However, you're not allowed to smooth out the cracks, and you're not allowed to line them with seed. Seed is a type of lime a mixture. Vishel rabim choifrin oison v'sodin oison besid. When it comes to the public pits, you are allowed to dig them out initially. We dashed underline the choifer and oison because that's what we're showing, that if it's rabim tzrich lehem, you are allowed to dig them out initially. Well, at this point, so what about the original source, elokashio hach komaisa? The source, the initial Tanaic source that we brought in, said, ein chofren, you cannot dig out initially for the benefit of the public, and we established that that source would have to be talking about a case where the public needs it. Teretz hachi. So now let us try to resolve everything with the following restatement. Choytetin boros shel yachid. You're allowed to clear away debris from the pits of a private person. B'shi yachid tzorech lahem. when the individual needs it. Now, I know we've gone well into our shir today, but we're talking, of course, about how much trouble are you allowed to exert to invest in these kind of activities on Chol HaMoed. Of course, we're in a continuing discussion. Hopefully, everyone who has listened to our shir has listened to the last few dapim and realizes that is what we're talking about. So you're allowed to clear away the debris of the private person's pits, b'shiyochid tzorech lehem, when the private person requires it. The ain't tzorech lomer b'sharabim. It goes without saying that certainly would be allowed for the public, kisharabim tzrichim lahem, when the public needs it, the afilu chafira mutter, that even initial digging is allowed for the public benefit. The ain, choifrin boros shichim moros sharabim, however, initial digging out of boros shichim moros, different types of pits of the public are not allowed, b'she'ein rabim tzrichim lahem, when the public doesn't require it. The ain, sorach lomar shel yachid. And it goes without saying that it would not be allowed for a private person, d'chi'ein yochid tzorech lehem, because when it comes to a private person and he doesn't require it, afilu chatita nami oser, even the mere clearing away of debris would be forbidden. So with this rereading, we've covered all bases, so to speak, that when it comes to a pressing need, so chatita will always be allowed, even for a private person. And when something is not needed, so we can say with assuredness that when something is not required, then initial digging will not be allowed for anybody, even the public, when something is not required. Omar Ravashi, Masnisen Nami Daiko. Careful reading of the Mishnah will bear this out as well. Now, what we've done with our markings here is we have another Ma'akav situation. We want to keep track of a back and forth discussion where Ravashi is emphasized as saying that the Mishnah is support to this. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have under our Mivneting the trapezoid or volcano shape appears, and we're calling this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. And with the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards, siyua laha dehisik ha-gemara, this will be a support to the conclusion of the Gemara, dim rabin tzrichin lo afilu chafiru shoyu, that if the public needs it, they require it, even initial digging will be allowed. The inverted volcano shape that will appear will be a nisayon lidchos asiyu, an attempt to deflect the support that was just offered. And this kind of Gemara is very standard throughout the Shas, where the Gemara reached a conclusion, and then the Gemara tries to say that a particular Tanaic source will support that conclusion. That becomes a separate sub-discussion. Can we say the Mishnah is support to it? At times, the Gemara will reject the support, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the initial halacha is rejected. The main point is that the attempt to cite a particular source as support, that's rejected. In this case, though, if you look at our Gemara markings and you follow the back and forth, you'll see that the attempt to support the maskona of the conclusion before will be maintained. So now the Gemara continues. Ravashi mentions that our Mishnah supports the conclusion that we reached just before. Dikotoni oisin kol tzorchi rabim. Our Mishnah said that all public needs can be done. Kol lasuemai. The kol is a word, a short word, but it represents something of an inclusive nature. Other things that weren't stated are being included. So what is being included? Lav lasuye chafira. Is it not coming to include initial digging? That when the public needs it, they require it, initial digging will be a digging of pipes, of pits, will be allowed. Lo That's not the way to understand it. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah's cult Sechrab is not coming to include initial digging, but it's coming to include other activities. And here we have a Tanaic source that lists those other activities. Yoitzin lekavetz es hadroch. Lekavetz is a verb form of the noun coats. Kuf vov tzadi. Coats is a thorn. So lekavetz has to do with removal of thorns from the roads. So yoitzin lekavetz es hadroch lesakin es rechovos, and to fix the streets. This is strotois. That's a plaza, public areas, or thoroughfares. The lomud es mikvos, and to measure the mikvahs to make sure that the mikvos, the mikveh, has the required minimum amount of, at least the minimum amount of required water for purification. The whole mikveh she'en bo arboim saw, and any mikveh that's lacking the minimum required 40 saw measure of water, margilin l'soichei arboim saw. So we cause a flow of water to go into the mikveh to complete the 40 saw. Uminayin shim lo yotsuv yosu kol elu, and from where do we know that if the beis din who's in charge, the court that's in charge in making sure these things take place, and they don't do it, let's say they're lax in their responsibility, shekol domim shenishpichu sham, that any blood that is spilled there, any injuries, any catastrophes that happen as a result, let's say, of the thorns on the roads that weren't cleared away, ma'alem akosuf kiluim shofum, the Torah considered it as if the Beis Din themselves spilled the blood, caused the catastrophe. Where do we know that from? Tamalomer v'hoya olecha domim, the blood is upon you. You are responsible. So that those who are in charge must be diligent in their responsibilities, and all of these things can take place on Chol HaMoed. So what's the point right now? The Mishnah had said in a terse fashion, Oisin Kol Tzorchei Rabim, what we thought that came to include that even initial digging of water pits are allowed. The Gemara then tried to reject that and say, no, the Oisin Kol Tzorchei Rabim is not dealing with initial digging out of water pits. That's too much tircha. That's not allowed on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. But what is allowed are the things mentioned in this Tanaic source, removal of thorns, fixing of roads, etc. The Gemara says, really? Ha behedyo katani law. The points in this brisa were stated explicitly in the Mishnah. It said, that you are to repair the roads and the streets and the pools, the ritual immersion pools we call the mikveh. So I don't need a special inclusive expression like the word kol we mentioned before to include something that's stated explicitly. The Oisin Kol Tzorchei Rabim Lasuyei Mai, the Mishnah that says that we do all public needs, what does that come to include? Lav Lasuyei Chafiro, is it not coming to include initial digging like Rav Ashi taught? Certainly is. Shma Mino, this is conclusive. So Rav Ashi's point before that the Mishnah comes to include Chafiro, initial digging of pits for the public when the public requires it, is alluded to in the Mishnah itself. Mitzainen es hakvoros. At this point, the Gemara starts a new topic dealing with marking off of graves, areas where there might be tumah, tumas oihel, which means a form of tumah that if you walk over the area, even if you don't have direct contact with it, as is the case with tumas mace, corpse-related tumah, so the area must be marked off so that people, that particularly kohanim, who might be carrying with them trumah, or in the time of the Beis HaMikdash korbanos, those items must be kept in purity, in non-defilement. And we should point out that this discussion will continue till Daf Vov Omed Aleph. On the side of the Gemara, we've noted this under our No Say heading, where we've indicated Ad Vavam and Aleph. Siyun Mekomos, the topic, the No Say is Siyun Mekomos Temeim, Mishum Tumas Meis, the marking off of places that are Tomei as a result of there being some corpse-related tumah there. When we speak about corpse-related tumah, for example, an olive quantity of human flesh, of dead human flesh, that's under the ground, that is capable of rendering tome, defiled, he who walks over it, even without actually touching it. There are other areas of mace, of tumas mace, that don't create tumas oihel, and hence the din of marking off won't be necessary. The Gemara, Mitzayinim es ha-kvoros, Omer of Shimon ben Pazi, Remez l'tziyun kvoros min ha-Torah minayim. From where do we see an allusion in the Torah for the need of marking off graves? The Gemara will speak about graves. Understand that that is it's an easy word, it's an expression that includes this realm of Tumas Mace. On the side, by the way, we have a new marking coming up, a crown shape, and under the Mivne heading, we indicate 9 Makoros, Litziun Kvoros. 9 sources will appear in the Gemara, and you might be asking, what do you need 9 sources to tell me the same thing? So in general, if you see multiple sources, there's probably an argument, some type of controversy. The Tosfos here points out in Dibur Masal Rav Popo Amar Solu Solu Kol Chad V'Chad Nokit Mai Dahavim Masik Adaitei. Each one of the opinions that we see in the Gemara is choosing that which appears to him to be the source. V'loy Pligi. We've emphasized this. There's no argument. Elo Urche De Milse De Kol Chad Masik Adaitei Ma Delo Masik Chavrei Adaitei. It is the way of people. It's common for everyone, for each person to see a different source. Something appeals more to one than appeals to the other, and they share their own opinions. But they're not, their intention here isn't to argue with the other opinion. So we have 9 different possibilities as to what the source for marking off Tumas Meis might be. Note the first of our crown markings. Talmud Loimar v'ro etzem odom uvono etzlo tziun. The pasuk says, and you'll see the bone of a person, and you'll build next to it a marker. Omer le Ravino le Ravashi. Ravino asks Ravashi, says, take note, this pasuk comes from where? It comes from Yecheskel. Yecheskel is one of the prophets, in fact, one of the later prophets. Before Yecheskel, Lase means he came. Before Yecheskel came on the scene, so who would have provided a source for that? So that's Ravina's question to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi responds, note that this is a long answer. He says, Uletamech, and according to you that are bothered by the fact that this seems to be a late source for something that we should have known earlier, Haldiyom Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda tells us, Dovar zeh, the following, Mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu, Midivrei Yecheskel ben Buzi lo matnu. The following is not explicitly in the Torah. However, you see a pasuk, a verse that's explicit in the book of Yecheskel that tells me the following, Kol ben nechor orel lev, v'orel basar lo yovel el mikdashi. That anyone who is an apostate, an orel lev, he's a non-believer, a scoffer, or he is uncircumcised, orel bos, or uncircumcised, he shall not come into the temple. He shall not serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Mekami delesi Yecheskel manomer. Before Yecheskel came on the scene, who would have told us this, that a Kohen, for example, that's uncircumcised, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash? It doesn't say that in the Torah. True, Yecheskel indicates that. Elo Gemara Gemiri Lo, the Asa Yecheskel v'Asmecha Akra. Rather, there was an oral tradition dating back to the very beginning of the Torah. An oral tradition that taught that an uncircumcised individual or a non-believer cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Yecheskel merely came along and authored a verse that serves as a that reflects that oral teaching. Hachanami, so too regarding the marking of graves. Gemara Gemiri law, there was an oral tradition, and the prophet came later on and composed a verse that supports the oral tradition. Rabbi Avo Omar Mehocha. A second approach. From where do we see the need to mark graves? The pasuk says, "V'tome tome yikra." This pasuk is in the context of someone who's afflicted with tzara'as. But he takes this pasuk to mean tuma kuroloi v'imeres lo prosh. The tuma is, so to speak, calling out and saying, "Stay away." Well, obviously, tuma doesn't speak. How is that going to work? By my marking it off. Indicating, don't go over here, saying, stay away. V'cheinom Rabbi Uziel bar brei de Rabbi Uziel rabo. Thusly, Rabbi Uziel also says, tumo kuro lo v'omeres lo prosh. From this pasuk, tome tome yikra, the tuma is, so to speak, calling out and saying, stay away. The Gemara asks, V'hai lahochi huda also. This pasuk of tome tome yikra, is it coming for this purpose? Ha'umi boya leilich nisanya. It's needed for a different purpose. The tome tome yikra, the pasuk is cited. Tzorach lohidia tzaro l'rabim. The afflicted one has to let the public know. A person who is experiencing tzar, who is experiencing pain, should inform others of such. V'rabim mevakshim olav rachamim. And the public will pray, will seek out mercy on his behalf through prayer. So Tomei Tomei Yikra has a different role. The Gemara answers, Im Kain Lichtoiv V'Tomei Yikra. If it was only for one halacha, for that you should inform others of your trouble, so let the pasuk say, V'Tomei Yikra, the person who was defiled, who was in pain, should call out, My V'Tomei Tomei, why the double expression? Shamas Minotarti. From here we learn both points. The need to mark off graves, and the person who is afflicted with some type of problem should let others know about it. Abaye Omar Mehocha, V'lifnei Iver lo Sitei Michshol. In front of the blind man, do not place a stumbling block. The parallel here to the Iver, to the blind man, is the one who is unaware. One who is unaware of Tumah, don't allow him to stumble over the Tumah. Mark it off so that will keep him from stumbling over it, from encountering it. Rav Papa Omar Mehocha. From the following pasuk, the Omar, solu, solu, panu, derech, clear away the path. In other words, make it passable so that someone who needs to keep from defilement does not encounter it. Rav Chinino, Omar, Rav Chinino cites a pasuk, mehocha, harimu, michshol, miderech, ami, lift up the stumbling block from the path of my nation. As we explained before, Rabbi Yeshua Breder of Idi Omar Mehocha, V'hodat Elohem es HaDerech Yelchu Bo. He cites a pasuk from the Chumash, from Shmois, which translated means inform them of the path that they shall go on. Again, making sure that the path is clear from problems. Mark off the graves. Marzutra Omar Mehocha, Vizartem as Bnei Yisrael mitumasam. You will keep them away. Vizartem from the word Lashon Zar. Zar, Rashi quotes the Targum Vetifushun, keep them separate. Zar literally is a stranger, a distant one. Keep them separate, keep them far from the Tumah. Ravashi Omar Mehocha, Ushmartem es Mishmarti, which he explains, Asu Mishmeres Lemishmarti. Make a fence for Truma. A fence is a method of keeping someone away from Tuma for the sake of Truma, concerning which the Torah says Mishmeres. That's as Rashi explains, that when dealing with Truma, the Torah warns you, take care of it, that it doesn't become defiled. The Truma, of course, is the tithe of produce that's given to Kehanim. It must be maintained in a state of ritual purity. So, Ushmartem es Mishmarti, take care of that which the word mishmor, of guarding, is stated. And how do you care for the truma? By marking off graves, as we explained before. Ravino Omar Mehocha, V'som derech erenu b'yesha elokim. Rashi says, V'som derech she'osin simen be'ezah derech yechu. Place a marker indicating which path to take. And now, on this particular pasuk, the Gemara has a drasha of phenomenally significant importance, of great significance. Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi kol ha shom. Notice we're playing with the word sum from the pasuk. The shin sin interchange is employed over here for Rabbi Shu ben Levi's drasha. Kol ha shom. Shom is a word. Maybe you're familiar with the word shuma. That has to do with an evaluation, a calculation. The Shom Derech Erenu B'Yesha Elakim. One who calculates what's the best way to take, what's the best path of life to follow, he will see salvation of the Almighty. If we look in Rashi, Erenu b'yeshal akim zeha shom or choisav, one who measures his ways, hamachashiv hefsid mitzvah keneged zchora, one who calculates how much loss will he loss in not doing a mitzvah versus the gain that he will have in doing the mitzvah, and likewise in sinning, how much does a person stand to gain, so to speak, when sinning versus the ultimate loss that he will experience. And that calculation is encapsulated in the word shum, vishum, a verb, shum meaning calculate, like the word shuma. Rabbi Yanai Havilei Talmida. Rabbi Yanai had a student, the Choyoima Havimakshilei. Every day he would pose questions to Rabbi Yanai. Now, a rabbi who is lecturing, who is teaching, and he's presented with questions, at times that could be embarrassing, it could be confounding. So this student who used to present questions to Rabbi Yanai, b'Shabbat de Riglo lo havimakshilei, on the Shabbos of the holidays, there was a large public gathering, and the rabbi would lecture. So on those days, this Talmud contained himself. He restricted himself. He resisted the urge to ask questions. And his reasoning was that since there's a large crowd of people there, raising questions to the rabbi and he won't have an immediate answer could be a source of embarrassment. Now, Rav Yanai was very pleased with this. Kori Ole, Rav Yanai referred to this student. Now here we're going to read it with the interpretation, not the way the actual pasuk is read, but the interpretation. V'shom derech erenu b'yesha l'kim. In other words, the pasuk itself is v'shom derech, but he interpreted as here is a student, here is someone that's calculating. He figures when to ask and when not to ask. We have a note that there's a Gemara that has a similar theme to it, maybe not the same outcome, but the similar theme to it in Maseches Tainis Daf Tes Omid Aleph at the bottom, and it continues Daf Tes Omid Beis, two incidents involving Rav Papa and being confronted with this situation of questions posed and serving as a source of embarrassment. So we continue on the second line from the top of Omid Beis, Tonu Rabbanon, but before we continue with the Tanaic source, we have a topic heading, Klolei Tziyun Kvaros, rules regarding the marking of graves. Al Eze Mitamin Mitzayin Al Eze Lo, on what kind of Tuma sources do we mark off and on which kinds of Tuma sources do we not? Ma Mikum Hatziyun, and what is the positioning of the marker? Tonu Rabbanan, second line from the top, Ein Mitzaynim Lo Al Kizayis Min Ameis. We do not mark off a spot under which there is an olive quantity of corpse meat, the Lo Al Etzem Kisora, nor on a bone the size of a barley grain, the Loi Al Dovar She'eno Mitame Boyel, nor on something else that does not create overshadowing defilement. Oyel literally means a tent, it's a covering, it's a roof. Ohel, tumas oel, is that type of tumah that's communicated by, amongst other things, by your walking over it. You're like the roof over it. You're mahil on it. There are other examples of tumas oel, but this has relevance to us. Avol, now in contrast, mitzainim Al Hashedra Val Gugolas, if there's a complete spine, if there's a spine under the ground, or there's a skull, Al Roiv Binyan V'Al Roiv Minyan Hames, or if you have the majority of the height of a corpse, and that's in the form of the long bones, there are thigh bones, leg bones that constitute the majority of the height of a person. That's Rov Binyan, the majority of the structure. And Rov Minyan is the majority of bones in numbers. Let us say, for example, there's 248 bones in a human skeleton. So 248 of that, if there are 125 bones in one location, that would be Rov Minyan. And there are many little bones in a body, which all told they don't account for the majority of the skeleton, however, they are the majority of the bones. V'ein mitzaynim al havadois, we do not mark off something that is there is definite tumah. And Rashi says, Ein mitzaynim al havadois, up the upper part of the narrow lines, he says, Hoyol debor lekulei alma, since it's clear to everybody, the is bei tumah, that there is tumah there, the is bei tumah vadois, lo mitatli boso mokom taros. People won't carry things that are tohor over there. So that type of area is not doesn't need to be marked. Rashi at the Tosis at the top says Ein Mitzayne Ein Tzorach Tziyun. It doesn't require a marking. So now Tosis anticipates maybe you will think that this source is talking about on Yom Tov, where there are restrictions on Chol HaMoed, what you're allowed to do, what not to do. So he says that's not the case. V'igabi Yom Tov Mayri HaBraisa, if this Tanaic source were in fact talking about Yom Tov, Iko Lafarish Osu Litzayin, it should have used the expression that it is forbidden. That's a more appropriate expression when you're dealing with Yom Tov activities. And that's a function of the osu l'troach b'yomto, that it's also to extend yourself, to exert yourself, to trouble yourself on Yom Tov. We continue in the Gemara. Avol mitzaynim al hasfekos. However, we do mark off areas where there is an element of doubt. V'elu hein hasfekos, and the following are that. There's a Rashi that we would like to look at before we go on in the Gemara. Avol mitzaynim al hasfekos, shiesh alehem oyel, sofek, that it is a point of overshadowing. Kagon schochos sufros hasmuchos ushasarabim hasomuch lebeis hakvoros. We'll see what these are when we go into the source a little bit more, but schochos and pros have to do with things that are overshadowing or protruding from walls that are alongside a public thoroughfare, and on the other side of the wall, there happens to be a graveyard. The Misafkalon Bu Tuma, we're in doubt concerning Tuma, the Kevon de Yeshaleim Oyol Regilin Likbor Shom B'mokom Sanua. Since these are things that overshadow, that cover, so they represent private type locations that are actually quite suitable for burial. So now we continue in the source itself. Avol mitzaynim al hasfekos ve'elohein hasfekos. The following would be examples of sfekos: schochos uprois ubeis hapras. The Gemara later will explain these terms, and you can see we have some. We have reference markings to the immediate left-hand and right-hand side of the Gemara text, which we'll come back to these points later. So these represent areas of doubt. V'ein ma'amidim tziyun b'mokum tumah. We don't put the marker directly over the tumah, shelo hafsidus ataros, so as not to cause a loss of that which is to be maintained in ritual purity. In other words, what's the point of a marker? Think of a highway sign and an exit off a highway. Where do you place the sign? You place the sign a bit before the exit, so that that makes you aware that in a short amount of time you're going to come to the exit. If you were to place the sign, and I've actually seen this, that the sign is at the point that the exit appears on the highway, you're going at 60, 65 miles an hour, and you then see the sign at the point that the exit is there. Well, you don't have enough time to slow down to make the turn off the exit. You're going to obviously miss the exit. So you want to have the sign located close to the exit, but not too close, and also not too far either, because if the exit sign is too far away, you'll forget about the turnoff by the time that you get to where you need to turn off. So the same approach applies here as well to the marking of the tumah. So we don't put the tumah, we don't put the marker right over the tumah. It's too late at that point. At that point, if you're carrying truma and the sign is right over where the grave is, you'll be standing over the grave when you notice the marker. Vein marchikin siyun mimokom tumah. And likewise, we don't keep the marker too far away, because in the case of tumah, here it's not like in our case of the exit sign, but you're going to be keeping people away from a large swath of land of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael. And as the source says, Shalom Lahafsid is Eretz Yisrael, so as not to cause a loss to the land of Israel, because places where there is tumah, so Kohanim aren't going to want to go over there. So you're going to be keeping off limits pieces of Eretz Yisrael from Kohanim, and we don't want to do that either. The Gemara now goes over some of the points seen in this source. Use the arrows and stars for references backwards. So here we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Align this with the arrow above, and you can see the Gemara here asks, "Ukezayis menames eno metame boyo." In the source itself, it mentioned that we don't mark off kezayis min ames, and in the same context, the source said, "Velo al dover shenu metamboil," giving you the feeling that a kezayis min ames, an olive quantity of corpse meat, does not communicate tuma through overshadowing. But that's not true. V'ha tanan, we have the following source: elu shemetamin boil. The following do communicate tuma through overshadowing: kezayis min ames. If you were, let us say, to, without touching, just simply walk over or place your hand over an olive quantity of corpse meat, that will cause defilement. Omar Rav Papa, Hocha b'kezayas mitzumsum askinon, this source that said we don't mark off a kezayas menmeis, it's not coming to tell me that it is not metamboil. It is metamboil. But if you have exactly an olive quantity of coarse meat, meat by its very nature, in the course of time, dries out, it contracts, and eventually turns into dust, it disappears. So in the meantime, when it's fresh, you'll have an olive quantity, as in this case. But maybe a day or two later, it's contracted. It's drying up. It's less than an olive quantity of matter there. So our source is featuring a case where there's an exact olive quantity of tumas, mace there. The soif soif mechsar choser, that in the course of time it diminishes. Now at the point that it becomes less than an olive quantity, so it's no longer going to metame through overshadowing. And we say as follows, mutov yisrufu olav truma v'kotshim lefishah v'al yisrufu olav la'olam. Better for us to come to a case where we'll have to burn truma for the moment, meaning it'll be a kezayas for the next 24 hours. So that means in the next 24 hours, if someone happens to carry truma over that point, you'll have to burn the truma. But after that, you won't have to burn the truma. Now, if I mark it off, that will create the impression that there is tuma there. and that 2 years later and 20 years later, people who see the marker, they'll think that there's truma there, and they'll end up burning truma, so that any truma for the next ad infinite amount of time will be subject to being burnt unnecessarily. And that's because I will have marked off a spot where there was an exact kezias min ha-meis at the time I marked off the spot. So what, just to repeat, the calculation that this source is reflecting is that it's better to keep it unmarked. Granted that for the next short amount of time, I'll be inviting trouble because of someone carrying truma over that point. However, beyond that point in time, there is no longer any truma there. So it's better to leave it unmarked, thereby preserving truma over the long haul in time. The elu hein hasfekos, schachos uprois. We mentioned above in the source, these are considered areas of doubt, and they include schachos uprois. Schachos, what is that? Ilon hamesach al haoretz. It has to do with a branchy type of tree. There's a Rashi that you'll see on the lower half of the Rashi commentary, Ilon HaMesach HaLoretz, the Tumo Tachas Noif Echod, there is Tumo under one of the branches, V'eino Yodea Tachas Eza Noif, and you don't know under which branch, Oisetzion, so you'll make a mark that indicates don't go under this tree. Because under any given branch there is Tumo, I just don't know under which one. And we continue in the Gemara, pros, those are pruos hayoitzes min hagoder. Imagine a wall that separates a street, a road, from a cemetery. On one side of the wall there are graves. On the other side people are walking. Imagine you have rocks or whatever is used in building the wall, whatever wall building material you have, that happens to be larger, let's say, than the diameter or than the thickness of the wall itself. So it might be protruding on both sides. On under one end of this protrusion is a grave. Under the other end, I would be walking. Well, if that is the case, so I would become tomei because the stone, this large stone or building material, overshadows the grave and me at the same time. So in a situation where you have a wall lining a cemetery and you have protruding rocks and I don't know under which one there is a grave, I mark off the area indicating that there are stones that overshadow graves, stay away. Beis HaPras, this was mentioned earlier in the source, and we didn't explain what it was then, and now we're going to look into that. Kidisnan, the source says, HaChoresh is a kever. If you have a field, and in the field there had been a person that had been buried, and you drew your plow over that spot where the body had been buried. Harehu oisa beis hapras. It creates this situation. Now, as the plow goes over it, so there's a blade that grows in that goes into the ground, and it will drag along with it. Pardon the gruesomeness of this, but body parts or pieces of body that have just been cut up by the plow blades, and the issue is how far from the initial grave would the plow blades continue to drag along body pieces? So v'kamahu oise, and how much is now problematic distance-wise? Meloi mane meo ama. Meloi mane is the length of a standard furrow created by the plow, and that is 100 amas. So 100 amas around the grave will have a a status of tumah in doubt. There might be a piece of body for 100 amas around where the grave was. The Gemara asks, "Ubeis hapras mi metame boyel? Does a beis hapras, this area, create tumas oil?" V'omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda describes a person in the time of the Beis HaMikdash who was on his way from wherever he lived to the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th of Nisan to slaughter his Korban Pesach. And in order to participate in the Korban Pesach, a person has to, of course, be ritually pure, be undefiled. So Rav Yehuda tells us, Minapech Odom Beis HaPras V'Holech, a person who has no other choice but to cut through a Beis HaPras, a place where there had been a grave, had been a body buried. So he says, you can, Minapech is to blow on the floor, blow on the ground. The word Linapech, for example, can mean to inflate. It has to do with blowing. So you can blow aside the ground over which you're walking, Menapech Odom Beis HaPras V'Holech, and continue walking. In other words, it's urgent for you to get to the Beis HaMikdash. It's also equally urgent to remain undefiled. So if there had been a place where there was a body had been buried and it was plowed up, so you have this option. Now let's take a look at the Rashi. Menapech Adam, the lower part of the narrow lines, Haholech Lishchoy Pischo, person on his way to slaughter his korban Pesach, Dimyesh Etzem Kisora Metame Beheset, if there was a bone the size of a barley grain that communicates tum upon your moving it, again, not overshadowing, but by your moving it, Mispazir Beruach, it will scatter in the wind that you create, scattering me, move away from your path. You'll be able to do your Pesach, Korban Pesach, even though you've walked through a Beis HaPras. If there was Tumas Oyel, Hechi Ozil Ole, if a Beis HaPras would communicate Tuma through overshadowing, how can you cut through it, you who are on your way to do a Korban Pesach? In other words, this Menapeach approach is viewed as useful only for Tuma that would be communicated through your moving it, hesed, causing its movement. But tuma that is generated by your overshadowing it, this wouldn't be an effective means of guaranteeing the tahara, the purity of the place. The Rav Yehuda Bar Ami, the Gemara continues, says, Mishmei de'ula, omar beis hapras shenidash tohor, a beis hapras that's been thoroughly trampled, and any bones that might have been there have been crushed, and that you wouldn't have to worry about an etzem kisora either, so it would be tor. That's not so germane to our discussion right now. More, we're emphasizing the fact that you can cut through a beis hapras and rely on minapeach, on linapeach, indicating that a beis hapras does not communicate tumas oihel. So how do we resolve this with the impression that we received by learning the source above, that Beis HaPras needs to be marked off in consonance with the theme that which generates Tumas Oyel needs to be marked off? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Papa Loi Kashya, there is no disagreement or any difficulty in that which we're learning now. Kan Besod Shofat Bokever, Kan Besod Shenechrash Bokever. There are two different situations that we would use the same term for, namely Beis HaPras. One is a field that a kever is lost. You don't know where the grave is. That, in fact, is metame ba'oihel, and you have to mark off the field as such. Stay out of this field. There's a body buried here. I don't know where it is. However, there's a sadesh nechrash bokever. That's a field that we described before that was plowed up. That does not need to be marked off. And why not? As we explained, once it's been plowed up, we're assuming that the plow blades are do a thorough job. The body has been cut up into any number of little pieces. The only thing to worry about at that point would be an etzem kisaora. And for that, we said that if you're on your way to do a korban pesach, you can rely on the blowing. The Gemara asks, V'sodeh shenechrash bo kever beis hapras kori lay, a field that had been plowed up with having had a grave in it. Do you call that a beis hapras? Is that an appropriate term? Gemara says, it is. V'hotnan, as we see in the following source, shloisha beis haprasim. There are three situations that all are called beis hapras. Number one, sodeh she'ovat bo kever. We mentioned that before. A field that there is a body buried there. I just don't know where it is. The sodeh she'nechrash bo kever. A field that that was plowed up that had happened that had a grave in it. The sodeh boichin. My sodeh boichin. What's that? Oh, Rav Yeshua bar Abba mishmei deula Omar sodeh. Shemaftirin bo mesim. Now, that's a rather vague expression, but Rashi explains that people may have died in a distant location, and people of that place, and where he died is not where he's planned to be buried. So what happened is people would transport the body from the location of his death and bring it to the place where he was to be buried. And in transferring the body, they would leave the body in a field near the town in which he would be buried, and people from that town would take the body from that field to the grave. Now, in the course of transferring bodies, and let's just assume a situation of non-refrigerated hearses and long trips, what happens is there's deterioration sets in and body limbs can actually fall off, and that is what we're describing here. That field, that sodeh shemaftirin b'mesim, the field in which they would leave the bodies, and as we explained, we call it a transfer point, that area had a problem of tumah. Now, that field was not used for burial. However, there was a chashash that one of the limbs was left there. V'taimomai, why is there a suspicion of tumah? Omravimi mishum yeush bailim nogubo. This is an expression you find in other areas, in areas of financial law, of tort law, but here we're using it as well, because of Yeush, people gave up hope. The owners of the corpse, so to speak, the people who were charged with burying the body, didn't deal with those limbs that may have fallen off over there. So even if they took the basic body to be buried, there might be limbs of that body that are there that somehow got underground and they were not carried away. So that's called the state bochen. We'll call that transfer point, the field in which people would, from one town would leave bodies for people of that local town to take to be buried. We start a question, by the way, that's last a number of lines, as you can see, we've marked it thusly. Now here we have a star. Use it. Take advantage of it. It connects you with that which we saw above, where we indicated that sodeh shenechash bo kever that did not need to be marked off. When we in our discussion before, we said that a sodeh she'ovad bo kever needed to be marked off, but a sodeh shenechash bo kever did not. We now ask about that. V'sodeh shenechash bo kever lo bo itzim v'otanya. How can you say that it doesn't require to be marked? We have the following source. Motza sodeh mitsuyenes. Mitsuyenes means marked off. You find a field that has a marker. V'ein yodua ma tivo. And you don't know the nature. Is it a field that a grave was lost, or is it a field that there had been a grave but was plowed up? So, first of all, note, we're emphasizing mitsuyenes, a marked field. And we say, ein yodua mativa. So, yesh ba ilonos, if there are trees there, biyodua shenechrash ba kever. Then you know that it's that kind of field, a field that the grave had been plowed up. And because they were plowing that field for the benefit of the trees, to aerate the soil around the trees. Ein ba ilonos, a field that has no trees in it, but is marked, biyodua sheovad ba kever. Then it can be concluded that it's a field that a grave had been lost, where they don't know the location of the grave in that field. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Achie Shom Zokein O Talmid, the field is not considered as if it's been plowed unless there is an old person or a Talmud Chacham that can tell us the information. Not everyone is familiar, is knowledgeable of what happened. What do we see here? When we look at the source, especially with the markings, we've got a marked field, and one of the possibilities is that it had been plowed up. So what do we see in simple terms? Plowed up fields. Plowed, again, we're speaking in short notation, but we're talking about plowed up where there had been a grave in that field, but it is marked off. Omar Rav Popo. Rav Popo answers, Kitanyo Ahi, the source that said Mitsuyenis, that it's marked off, Besoda She'ovad Bo Kever, Ditsainuha. It's a field where initially a grave had been lost, and they marked it off because of that factor, because the grave had initially been lost. It wasn't known. It wasn't known its location. It's not a field that the marking had taken place after it was plowed up. No, the marking took place only when it was lost. The grave was lost in the field. And now we analyze. Yesh bo ilonos, if there are trees there, v'yodua shenechrash bo kever, then it's known that it had been plowed up. But again, we emphasize, it was plowed up, but after it had been marked off. Ein bo ilonos, if there are no trees there, biyodua she'elvad bo kever, then it's known, let it be known that a kever was lost there and it wasn't plowed up. And then, as we said before, then you have that chashash of tumas oihel. Not so in the case that was of the field that was plowed up. And as we said before, if you were on your way to do the Korban Pesach, you can rely on the minapeach approach, the blowing approach. Before we continue, we have a new marking coming up, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the house shape represents Shnei She'elos, two questions, Eich Somchen al Harisha Loimar Shenechrash Mokam HaKever. How can you rely on the plowing to say that the grave was plowed up? The Gemara asks. Regarding the scenario, the case we just had, a field that had been marked off and there are trees there, and we're saying, oh, that's a clear sign that the grave was plowed up. V'dilma v'lechush dilma, ilanois migavoi v'kever mibaroi. Maybe as far as the trees are concerned, the trees are migavoi, means on the inside, and only that area was plowed up. And the grave stands outside of the trees. And there was no need to plow up that area. And that player wasn't, that area then would be considered avad bo kever. How can you therefore say that just because there are trees there, you say biodua, we said that you know the grave was plowed up? So the Gemara answers, Kid Omar Ula, Be'imdin al Hagvulin, as Ula says elsewhere, we're dealing with trees that are on the borders. Hachanami ba'oimdin al hagvulin. So too over here. Let us take a look at the Rashi. The bottom of the Rashi commentary. Ba'oimdin hoilonos al hagvulin shel reshus haravim. The trees are at the border between the field and the public thoroughfare. Devadai leko tumo mibaroi. Here you don't have to consider that there was tuma outside of the trees. The lokavri inshi brishus rabim. What's outside of the trees here? The public thoroughfare. People don't bury in public thoroughfares. Elo bain ha'ilonis havia tumo v'nechrash b'shvil ha'ilonis. Rather, the tuma had been between the trees, and that area was plowed because of the trees. The Gemara continues at the top of Vavam and Aleph, V'dilma tuma migavoi vilanos mibaroi. Maybe, if you said that the trees are lining the edge of the field between the field and the Rishus Rabbah, maybe the tuma was internal, was in within the field, and not between the trees, and that the area where the tuma had been was not plowed up. So once again, how can you say that, as we said before, biyodua shenechrash bo, that it was definitely plowed up? So the Gemara answers, the source before that indicated that the field that had been marked, and there had been trees, and it was definitely plowed up, namely the area where the tuma was definitely plowed up, b'mesubochin. The trees are intermingled in the field. They're not standing in one row, and that's it. Just one row lining the edge of the field, and that's it. But rather, trees were scattered throughout the field. And therefore, the area around the trees had to be plowed for the benefit of the trees. And that in this case of Mesubachin means that the whole field in effect would have been plowed, and therefore, even though a while before a grave had been lost, you can rest assured it has since been plowed up. The Iboyasema ho amoron, or another approach is, we said ein marchikin Siyun mimokom tumashalola hafsid es eretz Yisrael. We don't want to distance a marker in the first place from where the actual grave was. Rashi says at the third line from the top, ho amoron ein marchikit simokom tuma. The kevan shesomoch lilonas hatsiyun, since the marker was near the trees, vadai tuma bein hoilonas hi. The tuma that was there initially was near the trees, the nechrash b'shvil ho'ilonos, and it was therefore plowed up because of the plowing needed for the trees. So according to this teretz, you don't have to say mesubochin, you don't have to say the trees were scattered throughout the field, they could have been lining the border as we said before, but the marker was near the trees, indicating that the grave had been over there, and that area was plowed up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, near, this is again a quote from what we saw in Hey Omet Beis, and use your star marker to the side of the Gemara to find the double star back on Hey Omet Beis. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad shiyehe shom zokein oy talmid, lefi she'en ha'kul b'kiyin badavar. That you, as we said there, that you cannot come to conclusions of the field having the status of being plowed up unless you have an old person or a Torah scholar there. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino, from here we see, Surbo Merabonon, a Talmud Chacham, or even a young Talmud Chacham, the Ika B'masa, that's in a community, Komili D'masa Ole Ramya. All matters of the town are upon him. What we see here is a very interesting observation, that those who are, and maybe we're going to, well, let's just preface our remarks here by classifying this as a bit of editorializing, and it might be even more. But it appears from this Gemara that one who is a Talmud Chacham, even if he's a relatively young Talmud Chacham, that's what the term Tzur Bo Merabonan means. I believe the Gemara in Tainus points that out. He must be involved. He is involved with the community. That's what the Gemara says. Mili damaso le ramya, are upon him. So that matters that have, of course, halachic bearing, are something that he is familiar with. So that contrary to certain images of Torah scholars that might exist in the minds of some as being isolated, separated individuals, quite the contrary. They are expected to be, or must be, or appear to be, quite involved communally. And the reason for that being is that so many different matters of the community have halachic ramifications. So they are people that are aware of what's going on, and if someone like that is there, even if he's a young Talmud Chacham, he will know what happened regarding that field. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.